This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/bugosity. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's audibletrial.com/bugosity. Welcome to the Bugosity Podcast for the 2nd of May 2016, the podcast that's run out of address space. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Chris Hangarner. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Good. Sorry I couldn't join last week. Got a new job.
First, a quick announcement. I've made a tiny change to the scheduling of the podcast. We record these the Saturday before release. And today it's the fifth Saturday of the month, but this is the last podcast where that will be the case, except for special occasions. I'm going to start taking fifth Saturdays off just to have a little more time for things like real life, you know, my family, things like that.
Yep. We've got lives.
Yep. So from this point forward, every time a month has five Saturdays, the week following the fifth Saturday will not have a podcast unless I had to cancel a podcast earlier that month, in which case I'll do it on the fifth Saturday to make up for it.
Sounds like a good plan.
So let's defoliate the news of the bogus. More goings-on in the UK with their wonderful NHS.
Mm-hmm.
The worst healthcare system in the developed world, according to the OECD. Well, now we have doctors working in emergency wards striking because of the bad conditions they're made to work in, and this is the first ever widespread strike by NHS doctors.
This is one of those things where I'm a little mixed, because on one hand, I don't blame them because they probably work in a crappy condition, but they're ER doctors and they're striking.
Well, what it is it's the junior doctors, and that seems to be what we might call interns.
Oh.
They're still in medical training, but they work in actual hospitals, and they get all of the crap jobs the more senior doctors don't want to do.
Oh.
So I think what they're doing is they're saying, hey, you know, let them work, you know, all these hideous hours and give us a little bit of a break.
Oh, then that makes sense. Then I sympathize with them. Although I still disagree with the idea of striking.
Well, there might be better ways, but
yeah,
anyway. But we'll talk about it. It's really the point of contention here that I really want to focus on. And they were actually walking out of both routine and emergency care. And the NHS has already said that they have military-level contingency planning in place to protect the patients. Military-level contingency planning. That kind of reminds me of military-grade encryption, you know? It doesn't actually mean anything, but
yeah. What are they going to do, send the SAS to force those doctors to come back?
They've already had to cancel something like 13,000 operations and more than 100,000 appointments. And they've had to redeploy nurses and more senior doctors into emergency care, and also to cancel holiday and study leave.
They canceled operations because a few interns went on strike. Can't the regular doctors still keep doing that?
Well, I think that's their point, but really, there are 55,000 junior doctors in England, and that's around a third of all medical staff, and it's just the fact that they're so strapped for doctors.
Yep. Kind of reminds me of that one internet meme I saw when Tony Blair was still prime minister, where he's like saying, I can't just make more doctors and dentists. What do you think I am, capitalist?
Yeah, I made that one. That was based off of something he actually said. A woman had come up to him and complaining about she had to pull out like a couple of her own teeth because she could never get in to see a dentist. And he said, well, the trouble is I can't just create more dentists. Well, try capitalism.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. I hate the U.S. system, but at least with the U.S. system, if you're in so much pain and you want to see a dentist, you can usually get one.
Yeah, it's really just about paying for it afterward that's the issue.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the biggest problem with the American healthcare system is we don't have a healthcare problem. America has arguably one of the best medical treatments out there. The problem is it's just so dang dumb expensive.
Yeah, it's an economic issue.
Yeah.
So the British Medical Association has been having a dispute with the government over changes to their contracts, and the way it works is they can work between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., but if they work over that time, any time between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m., or work over the weekend, those are called antisocial hours, which I think is just their word for overtime, so they're paid more. But they're changing the contract to change those hours from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and they're also adding 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturdays as part of a pledge to create a 7-day national health service.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm not against that. You know, that's good and all that. But here's the thing. If there was a proper free market healthcare, this would be an incentive. We need to hire more doctors and nurses, not just force the current ones we have, you know, to keep working.
Yeah, but they never seem to want to do that. And that's a problem we have here, too, because of licensing.
Yep.
Because that's really what licensing is all about. Less competition means you get paid more, so fewer doctors means that individual doctors get paid more.
Licensing. I never got the whole point of licensing.
Well, because they might do something bad to you, and you need the government to check them out, and so if they have a license, they have the government seal of approval.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like saying, well, you have a license to drive, so you must be a good driver then.
Yeah, there's a good test as to how well government licensing works. Just go drive on the road, look at those idiots, and pretty much all of them have a license from the government. They're licensed drivers. Now, they do say that in this contract is a 13.5% pay raise, but the BMA says that when you consider what they'll be losing in overtime hours, especially working all those Saturdays, they'll actually end up working all these extra hours and being paid less overall.
It's like what Lord T. Hawkeye says. Imagine if a private company did that. People would be screaming and marching on the streets demanding, you know, that company go out of business. But if it's the state, oh, they're the state, though, so they must be doing something right.
So the BMA agrees with this 7-day NHS idea. They just say there's this big shortage of doctors and not enough funding to pay for the doctors they need. BMA Chairman Mark Porter actually accused the government of distorting research and statistics to buttress its case on this, and that basically they had given the junior doctors no other choice. Quote, "The health secretary is trying to find some way to throw mud at the junior doctors of this country who have been providing weekend and night emergency cover since the NHS started. We have said repeatedly and always that we will call off the strike if the government will call off the imposition. By contrast, the government has said that there is nothing that will get it to call off the imposition." So one of the patients that had her procedure canceled was Karen Smith. She doesn't blame the junior doctors. She says, quote, "I am desperately disappointed that it hasn't gone ahead, but I do support the junior doctors 100%. And you also have Claire Marks, president of the Royal College of Surgeons, quote, "It just shows how sorry a state we are at the moment. I didn't ever think we'd get to this stage. The current dispute has got to a lose-lose situation."
People love to compare the NHS to the U.S. system. Again, the U.S. system is screwed up too, but at least we don't see doctors, you know, marching on the streets complaining about it. In fact, that's actually one of the reasons why I'm anti-universal healthcare is because I don't want the U.S. system to become like the U.K. I don't want to have to wait in long lines to get a doctor and then have my operation or whatever canceled because the government's mistreating their workers.
Yeah, and then people say, oh, but with government healthcare, you'll have the money. Well, where's the money here?
Yeah, that's the one question that many socialists will never answer is, who's going to pay for all this?
Yeah.
They just assume, oh, if we increase taxes for people and seize 90% of the assets of the rich, it'll pay itself off. It don't work that way, people.
Yeah, so Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt had his excuses already. He said it was all the fault of these difficult junior doctors and how it was totally inappropriate to withdraw emergency care, but apparently not totally inappropriate to pay them less money for it.
They always have to shift the blame on someone else.
And he also said, quote, "Where health secretaries have made mistakes in the past is where they have been too willing to compromise on patient safety." He's just trying to keep the patients safe.
Passive-aggressive voice. But people have a right to healthcare. You're not against rights, are you?
But how does paying doctors less for overtime make patients safer?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
And you know, it's pretty funny because there was a documentary about that advocate for universal healthcare, and all these patients were saying, I think it's mean that all these doctors are getting all these Lexuses. You shouldn't be profiting off of sick people. That's like saying McDonald's is profiting off of hungry people.
Yeah.
There was an interview with a Canadian woman and they interviewed this lady, you know, who had this surgery which saved her life, and they asked her, but don't you feel exploited that a doctor took over your pain and misery? And she says, I don't care. I'm alive.
Yeah, Stefan Molyneux went through something like that a few years back. And we hear that story all the time. And there's actually people in Canada who make a full-time living trying to get Canadian patients to America to have healthcare procedures done that they can't get in Canada because of just these long wait times.
People, stop saying that universal healthcare will save us, because it won't.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
Well, here's another story about how, despite how politicians keep blathering on about the need for renewable energy, they end up going against people who are actually doing something about it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be taking money from those wonderful power monopolies, you know.
Yep.
Last June, the city of Huntsville, Alabama, condemned Tyler Truitt's trailer and said that he and his girlfriend had to leave because they violated zoning ordinances by having a trailer that isn't hooked up to the grid.
Same as usual.
And they've actually got pictures of it in this article. It's actually fairly nice looking as trailers go. But he put a row of solar panels in, and apparently this thing, I looked at it on Google Maps, the thing is like nice and off the road. I don't even think you can see it from the road because, you know, it's got a row of trees and then the driveway curve. So, I mean, you won't even see it from the road. But he's got this row of solar panels. He's got a tank to catch rainwater, and he installed a composting toilet.
Oh, that's cool. Little disgusting, but whatever floats your boat.
I mean, as long as he maintains it properly, I mean, it's going to be safe. He's not going to be any danger. And he's going to save a lot of money, which he wants to do, because he joined the Marines in 2008. Before then, he was a physics major at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and he wants to go back and finish his degree.
Makes sense, because college students need all the money they can.
Yep. And Truitt said, quote, "We're not bothering anyone. I just wanted to have something that would be debt-free so that if I chose to go to school full-time, I wouldn't have to worry about any bills." The fiend.
Yeah, I mean, I work at Walmart. I've got plenty of people, you know, who are college students, and that's a constant thing they're worried about. They're worried about, am I going to be able to pay, you know, not only my college debt, but my billing and all that. It's just so hypocritical about the government, because the thing is that when those environmentalist, you know, politicians say they want renewable energy so, you know, we can save the planet, they only want the energy projects they want.
Well, and we've talked before about how in states like Arizona, these companies said, hey, lease our solar panels, just pay us so much for a month and you can have solar panel, and, oh, you can't do that, you're competing with the power monopolies. Yeah. Don't give me this crap about how you want... They want their subsidies for renewables. That's what they want. It's about their cronies.
Yeah, they only want their projects, and they want it to be a monopoly. Like, they want the one-size-fits-all.
So, they took him to court for a zoning violation. The zoning ordinance apparently says you can't have a trailer outside of a mobile home park, so you can't build what you want on your own property.
Yep.
And he's got like 2 or 3 acres or something like that. He's got, you know, it's not like there's like, you know, house, you know. They also condemned the trailer as unsafe because it wasn't hooked up to electrical, plumbing, and heating services. And they also said that he never applied for any permits. So he didn't go on his knees and bow and scrape in front of his lords.
You're under arrest for not getting on your knees and kissing our feet. How dare you?
So they gave him till June 1st to bring the trailer up to code. He did not do that, and he and his girlfriend did not vacate the trailer. Truitt said he considers it an act of civil disobedience and said, quote, "Sometimes you have to take a stand for what you think is right."
And let me guess, did they send the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers after him?
Not quite, but you do have Kelly Schrimzer, who's the communications director for Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle, quote, "The purpose behind these requirements is public safety. This includes ensuring that occupants of a residential dwelling have safe, potable running water and electricity, particularly in the wintertime. The city has posted the property as unsafe for this reason.
It's only going to be a matter of time where we're going to hear this story where three guys are sitting in San Quentin and they're talking about what they're in for. One guy said, I sodomized a little girl then strangled her with her own panties. Another guy says, I robbed a gas station and blew it up in the process and killed dozens. And the other guy says, yeah, I built my own home without a proper permit.
And everyone started moving away from me on the bench and giving me the hairy eyeball. Until I said, and creating a nuisance, and then they all came back.
Oh, what was that from?
Alice's Restaurant.
Oh, I never heard of it.
It's a song. It's a great song. It's about Alice.
Yep.
But Truitt argued that the zoning rule is unconstitutional because it discriminates against low-income families. Quote, they're taking a big option away from families that can't afford to build a fancy house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. How dare those poor people build their own houses and not use, you know, the public works.
So Judge Sonny Rodenhauser found Truitt guilty. Truitt appealed to Mason County Circuit Court and requested a jury trial.
He wasn't even given a jury trial?
No. He had to appeal to get
what
a jury trial.
Doesn't that violate the U.S. Constitution?
Well, it just means that you would always have the right to appeal to a jury trial, because if you didn't, then you could appeal that and say, hey, I need a jury trial, here's the Constitution. But it's kind of like traffic court. The Constitution says if it's a matter over $20, you get a jury trial, but you go into traffic court, is there a jury?
Nope. Nope, it's just you and the cop, and 90% of the time, the judge is going to believe the cop.
But you can always appeal it to Superior Court and get a jury trial. So Schrimser said, quote, we encourage green environmental living, and we request interested citizens to go through proper channels. Our departments stand ready and willing to guide them through the appropriate permitting process. So you have to go through the right ritual. You have to light votive candles and bow.
Yep. You can't build a house until you sit down on the table while the federal government goes, gooba gaba, gooba gaba, we accept you, one of us.
Freaks. Love it.
Yeah.
So you have Huntsville Community Development Director Ken Binion, who said that the building code violations wouldn't have been a problem in the rural area, quote, but in the city, it just doesn't fly. So it somehow matters when you cross over that imaginary line drawn on a map by politicians.
Yeah.
So Truitt said that the solar panels and the rainwater collection system he installed are safe and that they meet the needs of him and his girlfriend. He has 6 window-sized solar panels, which he says generate enough electricity to power his TV, refrigerator, microwave oven, central heat pump, and fans. They also have a propane water heater and cook on a propane grill. And Truitt said, quote, would the city rather us be homeless than live in a house that they don't like? At what point is someone going to stand up and say, this doesn't make any sense, this is wrong?
Well, no, we don't want you to be homeless. We want you to move on to our government-built houses, where the heaters don't work and the place smells like pee. I'm just going to say this, I'd rather be homeless than move into a government building.
So in September, Judge Rodenhauser did throw out the condemnation and said that it arose from the same facts as the zoning case, and he can't be tried twice for that because it's double jeopardy. But Truitt made an interesting point. He said, quote, the city refused to hook up utilities and water, then cited us for not having utilities. In essence, they're saying we can't live off the grid. Well, the bad news for Truitt continued in November when he was found guilty of the zoning violation by a jury that deliberated for less than an hour.
Yeah, as you said before, if the jury takes, like, less than a couple hours to debate, that's not a good sign.
Well, it's also not a good sign when you have jury forewoman Cindy Golub said that they sympathize with Truitt, but, quote, we wish him the best, but the law's the law. This is why we need jury nullification.
Yep.
But we didn't have a choice. It's what the law said. We didn't have any choice but to go along with the law.
I don't want to pull Godwin's law here, but it's just like in Nazi Germany. Most people did not like what the Nazis were doing to the Jews, but why did they not really do anything? Well, the law's the law, you know, there's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, what's the point in having a jury trial if you're just going to tell the jury, well, you don't have a choice, you have to come back with this verdict?
And here's the funny thing, not only is jury nullification not there, they will actually dismiss people from jury duty if you make it clear you know what jury nullification is.
Yeah, because here's the dirty secret. It's still there.
Yeah.
You can still do it. But, like you said, they'll dismiss jurors who know about it. Judges prohibit defense counselors from arguing it, and even allow prosecutors, or even they themselves, misinform the juries and tell them they don't even have that option when they do.
Yep.
So Truett was sentenced to 10 days in jail. Judge Dennis O'Dell also fined him $250 in court costs. He suspended the sentence for 6 months, released Truett without supervision, and gave him 2 weeks to move the house. And Truett asked him, quote, "Would it be possible to serve the 10 days and leave the trailer?" "No," O'Dell said flatly before standing and walking off the bench to his chambers. And so Truett said, quote, "If they want to go ahead and give me the 10 days in the county jail, that's fine, but I'm not moving the house."
Good for him, but that was a stupid court and a stupid jury.
He also said, quote, "We tried to make some arguments that it is a manufactured home and not a trailer, but the other constitutional arguments and fairness arguments we wanted to make, the judge didn't let us make."
Just goes to show, judges are just politicians in robes.
As we've repeatedly said. Now, I was trying to get some more up-to-date information on this. November was the last thing anything really seemed to be happening about it. It does seem to be in a bit of limbo right now. No real progress from either side, so here's hoping things start going Truett's way during whatever the next steps in this process are.
Yeah, I hope.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
More news about the FBI cracking the iPhone of one of the San Bernardino shooters. We've covered this before about how they were spreading around a lot of bogosity, apparently to try and get a nice court precedent saying that they can force companies to write hacking tools and decrypt devices, which is what Apple was resisting. So when it looked like things weren't going the FBI's way, suddenly, oh, hey, here's another way in, what do you know? Because what they don't want is a precedent going against them. And of course, they didn't find anything, which is pretty much what everyone expected. So, people are understandably wanting answers as to how they got in. Because that means there's an unpatched security hole in the iPhone 5C, there haven't been much in the way of answers so far, but Comey did basically say that they paid over $1.3 million to get it done.
Wow.
And this was when he was speaking at a security forum in London. He wouldn't give them a dollar figure. He just said it cost a lot, and he said it was, quote, "More than I will make in the remainder of this job, which is 7 years and 4 months for sure." Now, Comey is paid at the rate for level two executive salaries, which is $185,100 a year. And so if you do the math on that, that's about $1.3 million. And so he said it was more than that, so it's at least that much. But Comey did say, quote, "But it was, in my view, worth it."
Yeah.
Now, he did say that this hack would only work on an iPhone 5C running iOS 9, so it's very limited. And he did say he hoped the government could figure out a solution to access other phones without having to pay a lot of money or make appeals to the tech industry to do the hacking for them. Quote, "I'm hoping we can somehow get to a place where we have a sensible solution or set of solutions that doesn't involve hacking. It doesn't involve spending tons of money in a way that's unscalable. Hey, Comey, I have a solution for you. It's called the Constitution. It's called doing real police work."
They don't care about the Constitution anymore. If you ask a politician, "Did you actually read the Constitution?" they're just going to say, I skimmed.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP?
A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And now it's time to redirect this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Opera Software, makers of the Opera web browser, which is a good web browser. And recently they announced something amazing. They were adding a free VPN to their browser. All you had to do was hit a button and you were connected and secure. Well, sort of.
Uh-oh, it's always a catch.
So what they say in their release is, quote, "We are the first major browser maker to integrate an unlimited and free VPN or virtual private network. Now you don't have to download VPN extensions or pay for VPN subscriptions to access blocked websites and to shield your browsing when on public Wi-Fi." And we've talked about this before and the benefits that you can get from that. And they say, quote, "According to Global Web Index, more than half a billion people, 24% of the world's internet population, have tried or are currently using VPN services. Young people are leading the way when it comes to VPN usage, with almost a third of people between 16 and 34 having used a VPN. Now, let's stop for a minute and just review what it is we're talking about. A VPN is where your computer connects to a server out there somewhere, and all your traffic gets encrypted to that server, and then it becomes decrypted and goes the rest of the way towards the website. So it's not a secure encrypted connection to the website, it's just, you know, the first mile, as they call it. But it does mean that if you're in the coffee shop or whatever, no one else can snoop on what you're doing. You can use it to get around geo restrictions or government censorships or anything like that. Now, there is one problem with doing it that way. It's possible, although the software is usually pretty good, it's possible for something to leak out, because the way it works is a VPN makes a virtual network device, and that's what the traffic goes down. Your real network device is still there. It's possible for something to end up slipping out through the real device and go through unencrypted. It's better to have a VPN on a specialized kind of hardware. A lot of consumer routers, the router that you have going to your internet access, a lot of those allow you to put your VPN login in there. And there's also specialized hardware that you can take around with you, and you just plug your computer into that, and that gets you on through the VPN. So that's the absolute best way to do it without leakage. One of the ways that's just kind of a little stopgap way that isn't anywhere near as good as either of those is a proxy. And the way a proxy works is you configure your browser to go to the proxy, and it's just HTTP traffic, but it'll go through the proxy and it'll be encrypted. And again, it's that first leg, but a lot of other stuff isn't encrypted. Now, Opera is actually claiming its VPN is better than traditional VPNs. But it isn't. It's better than a proxy, but it's not as good as a proper VPN. First of all, it's only for the web browser, so anything else you do with any other software is still transmitted in the clear. So it's really more like a super-duper proxy server than a true VPN.
And I've had bad experiences with proxy servers, so...
Yeah. Second, it doesn't even catch everything your browser is doing. A lot of websites use a technology called WebRTC, and that'll just go right around that. Many browser add-ons might also go around it as well. It's also unclear if they're capturing DNS lookups. If they're not, it means all this metadata about what websites you're browsing is still leaking out.
So from what I'm getting, the problem with these guys is that it's good that they're offering security, but they're lying to their customers by saying we've got the best in the world, when in real life they're only slightly better.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with the technology they've implemented. You just need to understand its limitations. If you just want something more secure than a proxy server, this is great, but it does not have the full security and privacy of a proper VPN.
And the problem with that kind of mentality is that if you're so sure that your product's going to work, you're going to let something slip because you're not going to be paying attention.
Yeah. It's been said many times, many ways, a false sense of security is worse than no security at all.
Yeah, like that one guy who had that, you know, insurance protection and all that it was to protect your identity, and he would advertise by showing his social security number on his commercials, and apparently he got his identity stolen a couple times.
Yep. Because you're not as well protected as you think you are. I mean, it's one thing if you continue on exactly as you were before, but by overhyping this feature, they're actually doing their users a disservice because they might let their guard a little down too much and overall make them less secure.
Yeah, if they don't think they're properly protected, one thing that will protect them is that they're going to be a little more cautious about what they put on the internet. But if you say, don't worry, we've got this service that'll protect you, they're going to be more reckless. You know, we see it with traffic lights all the time. You know, I mean, if there's like a road that's a little dangerous, people slow down and they do their best to be the best drivers. But if the government puts like a sign up and all that, people say, oh, there's a sign up, so I'm safe. And then they drive recklessly.
Yeah, and it's unconscious. You don't even realize you're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
People can look up the Peltzman effect if you want to know more about that.
Yeah. Another good example of this would be bicycle helmets. People say, well, we want people to wear bicycle helmets because they protect your head. And they do, but it was found out that people who drive with bicycle helmets, they tend to ride more recklessly than people who don't wear them. It's one of those things where if you give people a false sense of security, they're going to act recklessly.
So all of that makes Opera Software this week's biggest bogon emitter. Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now let's invalidate the checksum of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, Evans Gray from the forum nominates Cindy Pryor of the Queensland University of Technology, who has, follow this, she has sued several students for racial discrimination after she kicked them out of the technology lab for being white.
She obviously does not know the definition of irony.
So one of them is Alex Wood. He's being sued under the Racial Discrimination Act because after he was asked to leave the computer lab, he wrote about it online.
Oh, yeah.
He posted on Facebook, quote, "Just got kicked out of the unsigned Indigenous computer room. QUT is stopping segregation with segregation." So apparently they'd done something where, and I'm guessing by Indigenous they mean Aborigines, where they're the only ones who can use the lab.
Yeah, racism is bad, unless it happens to white people, then they deserve it, because reasons.
Because privilege.
Yeah.
Another student who was kicked out is Jackson Powell. He's being sued as well because of what he wrote. And that's the thing, these guys aren't saying, oh, you discriminated against me, I'm going to sue. They're just taking it to the marketplace of ideas.
Yeah.
And he wrote, quote, "I wonder where the white supremacist lab is."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know. Again, I don't want to bring up Godwin's Law, but if you take these rules, you know, that forbid people, and then you say, we're going to do it to Jews, and it sounds like something the Nazis would do, you probably should be rethinking your ideas.
Yeah. And then the third student is Callum Thwaites, and he was accused of writing a post where he used the N-word. They've censored it. I'm assuming it's the same N-word against Aborigines that we use here against blacks.
Yeah.
I don't know about you know, Australian slang or anything like that, but it probably is.
And here's the thing about the N-word. You know, a lot of people like to say, oh, they said the N-word, he must be racist. Most of the time when I hear it, it's either used as a joke or as a greeting. It no longer has that same, you know, insult that it used to have.
Well, and that's what should happen to it. That's the way to take away its power.
Yeah.
But if you keep getting all bent out of shape about people using it, that's never going to happen.
It's like what happened with in my high school when we had the ban, the R-word movement, which is retard, and I got in trouble because I protested it. I just sent the letter saying, I think, you know, I understand what you're doing, but it's wrong. You know, I mean, here's the thing. If people are saying retarded over and over again, and it starts to mean something else, it loses its offensive power over you. Same thing with the word faggot. You know, if you use it over and over again for different meanings, eventually it's going to lose its power.
Well, I say the whole thing's a bunch of humbug. Now, 200 years ago, humbug was not a nice word to use.
Yeah.
That would be very offensive if you called someone a humbug. But now it's kind of cute.
Yeah, people like to laugh, you know, when Mr. Scrooge goes, Mr. Scrooge is just going around calling everything a humbug. 200 years ago, if you said, yeah, Christmas is a humbug, people would have guessed and said, oh my God, sir, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. And notice that's how Fred reacts in the book.
Yeah.
He was like, Christmas, a humbug, you know. And now you can buy, you know, Santa hats that say Bah Humbug, and people wear them and go, oh, it's so funny. Because it's had its power taken away.
Yeah, another good example. Now, it still happens in Europe, but in America, we sometimes call people who overreact a spaz. You know, that used to be an offensive term for a person with multiple cirrhosis and cerebral palsy. Now, it's still offensive in England, but I don't know why. But here, you know, it doesn't mean that anymore. It just means if I call you a spaz, I'm not saying you're a retarded guy with cerebral palsy. I'm saying you're
a dork, a dweeb.
Yep, or yeah. You're overreacting. You know, I mean, it's the same thing that happens with the N-word, you know. It's funny because people like to say, yeah, but I heard him use the N-word. My question will be, yeah, but in what context? You know, yeah, if he says, eh, he's a dirty little N-word, we should burn them all, then yeah, I could see your point. But if he's just saying, hey there, N-word, like that, you know, it's like, I don't know what the problem is.
So anyway, he's accused of making this post using the N-word, even though he has a whole ton of evidence showing that he never did. That wasn't him at all. But Cindy Pryor is the one who asked them to leave the room, and she's the one who's suing them for making these posts on Facebook. And after the incident, she went on sick leave and says she feels unsafe leaving her home because she was afraid somebody would say something offensive to her.
Oh, boo-hoo, you precious little snowflake.
She also says she was unable to return to work because she's required to have face-to-face contact with white people.
Again, irony. Had this been the other way around, had this been a white woman saying, I don't feel comfortable looking face to face with black people, she'd be fired and blacklisted from teaching.
And she wants hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages from these guys. And of course, it's not just the damages, it's the costs. I don't know if Australia has loser pays or not, but it could be the case where just Woods expenses could go to $200,000 if the case went to trial. For all of them, the cumulative bill to defend the case could be more than $500,000. And at current exchange rates, $500,000 Australian dollars is about $380,000 US dollars. So upwards of $400,000 just to defend themselves from this nonsense.
And not to mention, as we pointed out many times, stuff like this can damage people's reputations, whether they're found innocent or not. You know, I mean, if you're charged with racism or rape, you know, even if you're found guilty, it sticks with you. The stigma is that you were put on trial for this. People don't hear you were found innocent. They just hear you were put on trial for this.
Now, under Australia's Racial Discrimination Act, anytime there's a complaint like this, there's a conciliation process that they have to go through before federal action can be launched. According to the Human Rights Commission, more than half of all Section 18C cases, which is what this is, have been resolved at that level. But the students are complaining that they were kept in the dark about all of this and deprived of their opportunity to go through this and have the matter thrown out. They weren't even made aware that the complaint existed until days before a final conference with the commission, despite the fact that it had already been underway for 12 months.
Jesus Christ, people. It's, you know, stuff like this really ticks me off, you know. It's sad that the social justice plague is spreading to other countries too, you know, I mean, I thought colleges were supposed to be a place where you hear new ideas, whether they're good or not. But no, now it's reaching the point where it's, oh my god, he said something I disagree with. Quickly, everyone, run to the space base and grab your cookies and emergency blankets.
Yeah, he used a pronoun that was masculine-centric in a case where the gender was ambiguous. Let's run, run!
Kind of reminds me of that one South Park episode where Sharon's, you know, complaining about how PC South Park's become. It's like, look, ever since you've become PC, all you've been doing is waiting for someone to say something offensive so you can criticize them regardless of what he or she said. And then he replies, he or she is a derogatory word that discriminates against agender-neutral people. You're a bigot.
God loves South Park.
Lady, learn the definition of irony.
All of that has to make Cindy Pryor this week's
idiot extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this. Today, we're going to learn how to make plutonium from common household items. Edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or audio to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks to Chris Hangartner for joining me.
It's good to be back.
Until next time, here's a quote from Robert Higgs. The government enforces a monopoly over the production and distribution of its alleged services and brings violence to bear against would-be competitors. In so doing, it reveals the fraud at the heart of its impudent claims and gives sufficient proof that it is not a genuine protector, but a mere protection racket. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution on Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual, peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
It's funny because there was this TV show called Ozzy and Jerks, which tried to make fun of, you know, what goes on in the human body, and they wrongfully portrayed the allergy as being a legitimate threat to your body. In real life, an allergy is caused not because the pollen finds a way to attack your cells, you know, for lack of a better words, it happens because you have a racist immune system.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, pollen gets in your nose and your fat, you know, white blood cells with their sheriff's head and their typical Texas accents go and say, "Hey, we don't like your kind around here. Get out, pollen."
Yeah, I posted one to Facebook the other day and it was stuff like allergies and stuff like that. And at the bottom it said, "Because nature actually kinda hates you."
Yeah, your immune system hates you. There's actually an interesting study which says that allergies on the increase might be a result of our overprotective society because we're spraying, these cleaning chemicals everywhere. The result is that we wipe out 99% of the germs, but the problem is that our immune system doesn't get, you know, that little exercise it does, so when a foreign body enters our system, even if it's harmless or doesn't do much harm, they treat it like a legitimate threat.
Yeah, and the worst thing you can do is make a sterile environment for kids.
Yep.
Where they're still building up that immune system. You can mess them up for life.
Yep, it's actually been shown that children, you know, who grew up on farms and, you know, play outside and all that, they're far less likely to have allergies and they have fewer sick days at school than normal students.